Sagen Sie jetzt mal bitte
Anarchie.
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 Ob geschichtlich oder brandaktuell.
Mit Berichten und Interviews, mit Beiträgen und Collagen
beleuchtet das anarchistische Radio Berlin das Phänomen des Anarchismus.
Viva Anarchia!
On the occasion of an international anarchist meeting in Paris, we had the opportunity to do some interviews in the studio of Radio Libertaire. This is one of these interviews. In it, we talk with some comrades from Greece on the topic of Syriza and Golden Dawn. Hello and welcome. We are here again at the studio of Radio Libertaire in Paris, and now sitting here with some comrades from Greece. You're talking here as private persons, but still it would be interesting to know your background.
We all come from Athens. We participate in a group of libertarian communists. It's a group based in a central place of Athens, not in the city center, but around. And we are part of a social center together with other groups doing several different activities. We are a political group, so...
We also are in a place that we have a digital archive, a bibliothèque.
Okay, thanks. And I'm from the Anarchist Radio Berlin. So, of course, what we would be interested in is to know about the recent situation in Greece. Only some weeks ago, Syriza won the elections. So I would like to start with maybe a different question. Are anarchists putting their hopes in Syriza, or...?
No, under no circumstances. Of course, though, a lot of people voted for Syriza. Just we had a right-wing government for many, many years now. The anti-election campaign was one of the lightest that we ever had, but it was not because we were hoping that something... that Syriza will actually can manage a lot of things in the European Union and how things are, but certainly there wasn't anything better compared to that. But it was not that we're hoping that something will change.
It was like choosing a strategy for the extremely right to be less strong.
And does Syriza have a strong situation now? It's been under a lot of fire from the other countries in Europe, especially... Germany?
I think that it is strange that Syriza, being a center-left party, has offered the most national pride to people than you would expect from a right-wing party or something. I mean, they invest to that as well. They have been, from the moment they started the negotiations, they have been organizing pro government protests in the city center in Athens and in other cities, and they have these protests, I think they have spread in Europe as well. I mean, it's they have based their whole negotiation in, they had said it before that they need the people to support them, so now they try to do it like that. But okay, it goes without saying that anarchists in Greece do not participate in that, and they are skeptical or, how do you say, hostile to these kinds of things. I mean,
as I can hear also from what you're saying, at least for you, it's no surprise at all that Syriza is making a coalition with a right-wing party.
I think that if you're talking about real politics and not name politics, like, okay, it's a radical party, Syriza, which is not, or... It was their only option. So the right-wing party that they are in coalition with has nothing to lose from this coalition. And in reality, Syriza has nothing to lose from this coalition because they both use each other. Syriza does not have any influence on the armed forces, so they needed a right-wing hand to be able to try and control this. On the other hand, they need somebody to blame if something doesn't work. And the ultra-right, the right-wing party that they are in coalition with, they just want to take voters from the other right-wing party that just fell. So they have given carte blanche to Syriza, even for things that before they would be yelling about, such as the legalization of second-generation immigrants in Greece, who now have no rights at all whatsoever. So it's a part of the central political game, and we will see how it goes. I mean, by itself, I think you can understand, people can understand how the game is played. I mean, it's not an ideological thing, I think.
And in the field of civil rights, we don't have a doubt that the Syriza would do some things that would benefit the rights of people that had problems before, like the second generation of immigrants, or in the matter of gay marriage, etc.
What is the effect that Syriza being in the government has on anarchist movement or any anti-authoritarian or non-government movement at the moment?
At the moment, I think that the movements, like any other person in Greece, wait to see what will happen. On the other hand, the agenda now is strictly targeted on negotiations about the debt and about the Troika and all these things. So I think that anybody who would try to spread a different word or a word in a different context would just be out of place. I mean, people now, people on the street do not care about anything else this particular time than the negotiations that have been going on now for 2 weeks or something. I think that if this goes on for more than a certain amount of time, then again people will start talking about other things as well. But now it's this seems to be the important thing for people. On the other hand, there are things are happening, like 2 days ago there was an immigrant who killed himself in a concentration camp that the previous government has set up. They call it places of hospitality, yeah, for immigrants. And it is places that the conditions there are the worst you can imagine. These people that are there, they have no rights whatsoever. They are kept there more than, let's say, the constitution, the Greek constitution allows to be for somebody to be kept without any charges. So there was an uprising in that concentration camp, and Syriza said that we are a very new government. These places are for sure going to be abolished very quickly, but because of the bureaucracy, they said, it's not yet our responsibility. So you see, life is going on, and they will have to deal with things, and we will see how they react. For now, I think that you can extrapolate from experience or from what you think about them, but still it remains to be seen.
I think we have seen in the past, taking for example Argentina or Ecuador, very clearly what central-left government will do. But on the one hand, it retains neoliberal policies, but on the other hand, manages to strip all the power of non-parliamentarian and or even anarchist movements. And that's why I'm asking if you're already noticing that it's becoming harder because of all the approval that a more leftist population maybe will have towards this government, or if you can see anything happening.
Already the agenda that the anarchists have in Greece is very short, right? So in matters that have to do with civil rights, they have to do with solidarity to prisoners and oppression, etc., they're going to continue whatever we used to do. It's only the groups that were actually involved in politics, the anarchist groups that were actually involved in politics, and they were doing politics. There are just few. So yes, maybe these groups, they're going to wait and see and then act. But in general, anarchists were not really involved in politics like that.
The anarchists are involved in local assemblies also, not only central politics. And they're trying to do self-organized things at the neighborhoods, and this will continue. And they're trying to do many things that are social now more than spread the idea of anarchism. They just need to spread the idea of you can do things for yourself by your own without waiting someone else to do it for you. And this is important.
Dimitra says it's important because this has been in the last few years the main activity place of the anarchist groups. So local assemblies and local action about things that affect small neighborhoods or even bigger had been shifted than before that it was a central scene. This series again tried to take it for themselves, so they always said that they were pro-local assemblies and pro-self-organization in that respect. But in truth, they weren't there, or if they were there, it was just to participate and say that they were there. And I think this will still going to go on. Things are in neighborhoods will still go on. Although the last 2 years, as a movement, it was declining because people had given hope in demonstration after the last big demonstration in February 2011, where it was the peak, and people saw that even if there is a big demonstration with riots, with everything, the parliament will vote anyway for all these measures. They were just waiting for Syriza to come to power. But on the neighborhood level and the everyday life level, anarchists were doing a very hard work.
But we have to understand that though, both Syriza and the right party that they are in coalition with, both have their origins in those demonstrations. In those demonstrations and the people that were gathering in squares, and since then they were again the memorandum, and they stay to their position. So we have to understand that concept and how both of them stayed focused on what they were saying back then and how they came to power and why. For example, Syriza did not do a coalition with another party that might be closer to it, to Syriza, and did a coalition with ANEL, which is the right-wing party.
Talking about right-wing parties, we also, of course, the terrible rise of Chrissy Afki or Golden Dawn in the last years, at least after the point where then the state finally had to react and started to prosecute some of them. Still, I was quite surprised, I must admit, at seeing it having around 10% of the votes. How can you explain this situation?
Okay, Chrissy Afki is something very particular, I think, in Europe. I mean, it doesn't exist such a party in other European countries. Okay, there are the radical right wing, but this is Nazi party, essentially. But the thing is, it has been nourished by the central political scene all these years, and the truth is that people that could belong to such a party were parts of the normal parties during all this time in Greece. You have to know that Greece, after the Second World War, there was a civil war, and then there was a dictatorship during the 70s, which lasted 7 years. And during all this time, the people responsible for either the dictatorship and all the tortures and killings, all people that during the Civil War they were responsible for collaborating with the Nazis and they were part of the... they were never really persecuted or punished. So these people were quite naturally incorporated in the right-wing party in Greece. And as long as the right-wing party had the means, or the normal parties had the means to have them happy, I mean, to put them in public places or to... They didn't have a reason to go out of the herd. On the other hand, when the crisis started, they were too, like all the Greeks, they were among the Greeks who lost some privileges, and being angry at the people that fed them, they started going out of the herd and getting into their natural place. This was in combination with the central political scene starting to find the internal enemy immigrants that they were blaming for every bad thing that was happening. Let's say we have heard from official lips that immigrants are to blame for the bad things happening in the health system. They are taking all the places in the hospitals without paying, so there are no... This was said by a socialist minister, that they fill up the childcare places so there's no... So this rhetoric has given the Golden Dawn a place to start spreading their ideas. Let's say they were firstly an anti-immigrant party, and secondly everything else. In my opinion, the dangerous thing was not that they have 10%. I believe actually that this is the top they can get, especially as they are now, that they have introduced into the central political scene their ideas as something not to be ashamed of. So people started being racist and talk about it without being ashamed, without having the contempt of the rest of the society. And they started, you know, things that were taboo before, and somebody would speak with their peers in their own house. Now they became a public. It was like it was thrown up in the society, and the stink was everywhere. I mean, so, and this dragged the political agenda to the right from the central political system. So this is how we were led to this thing in my...
One of the first elections that Chrysi Avgi started to grow, the main media, apart from promoted a lot the actions of Golden Dawn. They were also trying to say that the vote to Golden Dawn was a disapproval vote to the other parties. But what so those people did exist, and they, since Chrysi Avgi came out, they found the space. They found the space to express themselves. The good thing is, again, that all these fascist movement needs a critical mass that now it seems that they cannot get, hopefully. But it's also very interesting how they tried, because that started before crisis. We could see the rise of Golden Dawn from 2004, for example, where there was some successes in the national team of Greece, and they started going into groups of fans and in the national team and in other teams in the national league that used to be before that. Everyone had them like poor neighborhoods and more liberal fans, like in Piraeus. So and afterwards they developed a base that was with these fans.
Okay, so... Yeah, we hope there's enough anti-fascist actions against this and that we can stop
there
the spread.
We can assure you.
Perfect, and thanks for having been here.
You're welcome.